1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Dean Wheeler at the Bell Meadows Country Club. And Dean, what's going on with Annika Sorenstam?
Phil, I think we're all very proud of Annika right now. She's shot about five over, I think. She's about five over, I should say, for today, so I don't think she'll make the cut. But I want to just say how proud we are of Annika, all of us who have supported women's rights, and I don't think there's any choice. I think the PGA is going to have to admit women. I think it's just a matter of time.
You're really in support of her. As a man?
Well, I think Annika Sorenstam put the fear of Jesus into the PGA, and I think they better stand up and take notice, or a court order will do it. There's been a rift between men and women for a long time, and I think as men we haven't given the gals our support, and that's led in some cases to personal as well as political problems. I think, Phil, what a woman wants is for her man to be behind women's rights. And or she's going to react the way I think any normal woman would, and that's deny intimacies in the bedroom. And I've learned this in my own life.
Have you had personal problems because of your lack of support for women's issues? And are you hoping that will not be the case in supporting Annika Sorenstam? In other words, speaking as a man?
Speaking as a man, Phil, I just think it's important for all of us to be 100% behind Annika and her bid to join the PGA. I kind of laugh at men who think jewelry or lingerie or trips will buy a woman off. What I've learned is that a woman wants you to support women's issues, and whether it be marching for child support reform, equal pay campaign, this is what my wife expects from me.
So you support Annika Sorenstam not just in this tournament this weekend, but full membership in the PGA?
Absolutely. I think it's logical.
Why is that logical? Because she did very well, but...
Annika Sorenstam shot higher than 72 other players on Thursday and about the same amount today. Okay, so what does that tell you? It tells you that 72 other guys, she's better than. And so I think it tells all of us, Phil, something that a lot of guys are afraid to face. But I think it's going to be all right if they face it like men. Annika Sorenstam and probably a few other gals belong in the PGA, and we're going to work toward that because one thing my wife Sharon has taught me is to be in favor of women's rights.
All right, I'm talking with Dean Wheeler. He's at the Bell Meadows Country Club in San Francisco, commenting on Annika Sorenstam. He says she's done well enough to actually play on the PGA Tour. Good point you make about beating 72 other guys. Although I you're also making a point that it's important for men to support her and other women's issues, so that women will stay faithful to us, or we won't have intimate issues in our marriages.
My wife Sharon, if we can really show support, then a great thing happens. Your wife will look at you and revisit your intimate life. Sharon and I right now sleep in different rooms.
Sharon's your wife. Sharon is your wife, right?
Yes, she is. And we sleep in different rooms. But I'm looking on the calendar, and on August the 1st. I'm going to get to move back into our bedroom, and that's a reward for something I did. And that was...
It was at the support of Sorenstam, or...
Well, I took my wife to a women's music festival. I just want to do things that support women.
You said to the San Francisco Chronicle, men, just shut up about Annika Sorenstam.
Yes, I did.
Why'd you say that?
Well, let's take this Vijay Singh fellow. We know that we have to as men support Annika, and I took it further. I talked to KNEW. I said that full membership in the PGA is the only way to keep women in this country happy and for men to regain some degree of intimacy with the women they love. It's all about us finding a way back into the love of our wives and our girlfriends. And if it means supporting Annika, I'll do it. And if it means going and driving them to Lilith Fair or whatever they want to do, I'll do it. I'll do anything that my wife, Sharon, wants because for a year and a half, because of what I did, because of mistakes I made, we haven't had a full marriage.
Do you honestly think that she's going to get full membership in the PGA?
Well, Phil, it's not a matter of asking. We're demanding it. Women need to be heard, and we are, and I say we, me, and I feel like the women are, I'm with them on this. We are so in support of Annika. We so support her. We're demanding membership.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Thank you, Dean. Hold on. We're talking with Dean Wheeler. He's at the Bell Meadow Country Club. He believes that Annika Sorenstam has played so well that full membership in the PGA is a must and that men need to get behind her. Otherwise, women are going to continue to have problems with men. That at least in his case, his wife, your wife has a problem with you not supporting women's issues. Do you think that this is the case for a lot of men?
Well, what about in your own life?
Well, I don't really. I mean, I talk to my wife about. My wife and I are of different political parties. I support breast cancer. I mean, I don't know what you mean.
What I'm saying is, Phil, I think men have had their say about this. I think it's time for us to support Annika Sorenstam's full membership in the PGA. She went out today and kicked 72 guys in the rear end. That means she played better than 72 other guys. She did that on Thursday, too. And I think I'm one man who finally sees the light. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to be in agreement with my friends anymore. I want to agree with my wife because I think she's right and because it's cost us very dearly. And I say this with the greatest of respect to your audience. It's cost us in the bedroom. And I don't want to be... So women do this thing called cut you off.
Well, you're not saying your wife cut you off because you don't support Annika Sorenstam, do you?
Well, she... I was a real pig. You have to understand. I was... a guy that didn't really support women's issues. I played poker, I watched football games, and went fishing, and I never really gave a thought to women's issues and women's, women's rights. And now I see the light because I had a personal thing happen to me. And
I know you write in your book that your wife had an affair.
That is correct. She did. Yeah.
With a bottled water delivery guy.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me how that changed you?
Well, I realized then when I found out that Sharon was having an affair that I had been selfish, going to sales seminars, never thinking about women's issues. And I begged Sharon to take me back, and I would change. And God blessed me, Phil. She took me back, and I've been true to my word. I go to all the National Women's Day marches. I volunteer at Republican Women's fundraisers. I go to Lilith Fair with my wife. I watch the blanket and lunches while the gals go up and dance. This is a golden opportunity for men to change and begin to see the future by just simply turning to your wife and saying, you know what, gals, you've been right all along. Annika's great and deserves to be on the PGA.
Well, that's quite a statement and quite a proposal. I don't know what your chances are. Dean Wheeler is with us. He believes that Annika Sorenstam has played well enough to have full membership in the PGA. You say you've seen the light about Annika Sorenstam and other women's issues because your wife was forced to have an affair because you were too selfish playing poker and going to sales seminars.
That's correct, yeah. But now I feel like I she's shown me the way, and I hope, I pray to God, and I am a Christian, that on August 1st, I move back into my wife's bedroom. And
good things will happen in your marriage.
Good things will happen, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. Do you think Annika Sorenstam is paid well enough to compete in the PGA with men? That's number one. Now, a good point that he made, she's beaten 72 other players. 72 men who are full members in the PGA, male members, she has played better golf than for 2 days in a row. So what does it mean if they're in the PGA and she's not? That's number one. And number two, Dean's of the opinion that men need to get behind this and other women's issues, or women will take it out on us in the bedroom. A lot of bad things can happen intimately in our lives. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Dean Wheeler is at the Bell Meadows. Is that right, Dean?
That's right, Phil. We're about 15 minutes outside of San Francisco in Mill Valley.
All right, and the Bell Meadows Country Club You're hosting a Annika Sorenstam victory party?
We really are, and it's going to start this evening about 5 o'clock. And the reason why we're doing it, Phil, is we really feel she's won. She went out and she beat 72 other guys. We're just tickled for Annika, and I think men today need to hang their heads and remove their hats, if you will, or whatever you want to call it, and just say, hey, Annika, you did it. You beat the men, and you deserve to play on the PGA Tour. And I also am very grateful to my wife, Sharon, to have taught me this lesson because I was like most other men a few years ago. I was very stupid. All I wanted to do was go to ball games and this kind of thing, and she showed me what a selfish, truly selfish animal I was. And now I'm hoping in the next couple of months that we can have normal relations again.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. It says line 3, but there is no line 3. So where am I going here? Here is Dennis. Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I understand what he's trying to say about men and women being equal, but we are different creatures. Like, the point I'm trying to make is women have their own organization as far as golf is concerned, so I don't see what the big deal is, why she would need to play on the PGA.
Because there's more money in the PGA. There's
okay,
more recognition in the PGA. And they have the right because there is good.
Yeah, okay, you know,
She went out and beat 72 other guys don't play as good as her. And my wife Sharon showed me this. Are you married, sir?
Yes, I am.
I think you need to sit down with your wife and have her tell you what we've really been wrong.
Okay, the difference is my wife hasn't removed my jewels yet. I still am
I don't know.
Well, he's talking about how you seem to be a little, you know, controlled by your wife.
More than a little.
Well, Sharon has showed me that we need to support women. What do you mean? Are you saying that I sound as if I don't have my own mind? I made up my mind that I want to support my wife and do everything she wants.
Well, I have a question for you. If I outdance some of the Lakers girls, do you want to see me in a skirt shaking it on TV?
No. Well, because you're not a girl, and I want to look at them because they're lovely to look at. By the same token,
okay,
I don't go to a golf tournament to look at how they look. I go to look at how they play. And, boy, that was easy. You walked right into that one, didn't you?
I don't think your wife will like that sexist comment about you watching other women. You'll hear about that when you get home, I'm sure.
No, my wife knows that other women are beautiful, too. What about your wife or your jewels in her purse?
I still have control.
All right, thanks for your call. Here is Kurt. Go ahead, Kurt. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, my problem is I understand that Annika maybe qualified or did okay on this tournament, but she still has to do just like everybody else and qualify for the PGA.
Well, she played better than these guys did.
No. What?
Yes, she did. She played 72 other guys. 72 other guys, and they are not as good.
Hey, that's fine.
Okay.
Go to qualifying school, make the cut, get on the PGA. That's fine.
Well, here's the difference. She's a woman, and I think she deserves... Have you ever heard of being a gentleman?
No.
Okay,
you're
not a gentleman.
No, I'm not saying that. Let me talk.
Well, that's what you're saying, because if you don't let her on the PGA Tour, you're acting like you're not a gentleman.
No, I'm not saying I'm not going to let her on the PGA Tour. Let's qualify just like every other person, 150 of those guys did. These guys have all equal rights. Everybody wants, and that's what she's going to have if she wants to go on the qualifying school, get on the PGA.
I can tell you right now, if you turn your wife tonight and say Annika is wonderful, she's going to look at you in a different way.
Okay, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
First off, I would say over 50% of the women in this world did not know who she was, and maybe it helped a little bit this weekend. But the issues for women are not for this one golf tournament.
I think that Annika Sorenstam is a great example of how, as men, we can finally see how we can make the women happy with us.
See, me and my wife had a conversation two nights ago about this, and she laughed because she did not understand why she wanted to even go out there and play with men. And she also thought Martha Burke,
your wife.
Yes, my wife did not care.
I want to tell you a story. My wife had an affair with a guy that delivered bottled water to our house. And it took that for me to understand that I needed to stop going to ball games and everything and care about women's issues.
Hey, I agree with you there. I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But does your wife have time alone?
Sir, have you ever been to a woman's music festival with your wife or anything?
Oh, all right,
thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler with us here on the Phil Hendry Show talking about Annika Sorenstam and how she deserves to be on the PGA Tour, how she has proven that she's a better golfer than 72 other guys on the tournament. What she's basically done, and what you're saying, Dean, is she's beaten 72 other guys, right?
Well, as far as I know, I don't know how to read golf scores, but the lowest score in golf is the one that wins, and that's what makes it very... This is the thing that I enjoy about golf more than anything, is that if you have a lower score, you win. Because in most tournaments and most sports that I've seen, the baseball and all of those other sports, the highest score wins. Okay, and so I thought she was doing really well. I said she was five over. I said, oh my God, she's going to qualify. And then someone told me that that's not good.
All right, so I don't, you know, some people don't follow golf.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, and I'm saying that Annika has taught all of us, especially men, why aren't you being, you know, supportive? And now I know. And when, you know, my wife Sharon had that affair with Butch was his name, and he was a good guy. I realized that.
Now, who was Butch? Butch was the guy.
He was the bottled water guy.
And that showed you the way.
That showed me that I needed to get, you know, my wife, make her happy and support women's rights.
Yeah, golf is the lower score.
Yeah, I found that out.
All right, here is Frida on the Phil Hendry Show. Frida, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to make the point that the issue between you and your wife has to be kept separate from women's issues. They're two completely different things. And if you fall for that, you and your wife are both deceived. Let me tell you, I did that with my husband, my ex-husband, back in the 70s. I was a card-carrying member of the NOW. And
oh, that's great.
The issue.
Oh, that's so wonderful for you.
Yeah, but wait a second. Uh-huh. What I have found out is that women are now doing everything that we said the men do. Now men are the butts of all the sexist jokes. And I'm tired of it.
No, I want to do everything I can for the rights of women. Because on August the 1st, and Frida, this was great news for me,
I heard that, and I'm glad that you and your wife are going to be intimate in the bedroom again, but let me tell you something. That was unkind of your wife, and you said you're a Christian. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the husband is to revere his wife as Christ revered the church.
You know,
and we are totally equal.
But I have...
It also says that you do not withhold yourself from your husband... from the husband for the wife, or the wife from the husband.
Well,
it's not to be used for intimidation.
Well, I really believe, Frida, I'd say this. If your husband had just come to one NOW meeting with you, you wouldn't be a spinster today. And there are things
I am not a spinster. I'm married to a godly man. But I tell you what, if my husband...
If
my husband today...
Yeah.
Said, okay, I'm going to get all involved in women's issues, I would be upset with him, because I'm telling you, the women in this country are off track today. And I'm not, and I don't want people quoting this thing that, oh yeah, Christians believe that women should bear down to their husbands, because that's not what it says.
Do you give your husband intimacy?
Of course I do.
Okay, because my wife wants me to get more involved in women's issues before she'll...
Now, listen, the thing that concerns me about your wife is that she is going to be adversely affected by what the women's movement has become. The women's movement is not about equality anymore. It's about putting men down.
Well, all I want to do is have Annika join the PGA. My wife said if Annika Sorenstam can get in the PGA,
honey,
I will have full
so
sexual
deep.
Rights again.
Yeah, that is bad.
God.
All right, listen, Frida, thanks for your call. Hold on. Dean Wheeler with us, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. He believes, based on her great play, Annika Sorenstam should be a full member of the men's PGA. She beat 72 guys today in the scores. She beat another 72 yesterday. Why not? He also thinks that his wife will give him full sexual rights if she's admitted. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
If you just joined us, Dean Wheeler at the Bell Meadow Country Club, they're having a... they were going to have an Annika Sorenstam victory party up there. You are making some pretty serious accusations. Are you saying that the PGA conspired to force Annika Sorenstam to lose, to force her into bad play? Are you saying that they actually did things to the course and to her equipment?
Phil, what I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised. She's a great golfer. There is no way on God's earth that she can't shoot par or better on a course like that. That Colonial course is ridiculously easy. I think that there is very good reason to believe that they might have done something to her equipment. I think that...
Well, like, what do you think they did to her equipment? I mean, you're talking about... you're talking about getting to her clubs?
I think because they are so scared to death of a woman winning a PGA tournament, they got to her clubs. I think her caddy could have been paid off.
Do you have any information to back this up?
I am telling you, Phil, I used to be a man like that, but my wife Sharon showed me how wrong it was to be like that, so I know.
To be like what? To be so afraid of a woman that you would actually fix a match against her?
A lot of guys would do that, and I wouldn't be surprised. At one point, and I was watching it today on the USA television network, I saw the caddy pull something out of the bag. I thought it was an umbrella. I said, my God, he's pulling an umbrella out, and handed it to her. And then he laughed and put it back in and gave her the club. And she looked at him as if to say, she actually thought that he thought she was going to swing with an umbrella or something. It was the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Well, maybe he was joking around with her.
No, I think that he was trying to mess with her mind, and that's something else. There were noises on the green during her putting. Cameras were going off. At one point, during her backswing, someone made a noise, some kind of a noise. I have no doubt in my mind that one of the other players might have gotten to her drinking water. I'm just saying the PGA needs to investigate this further. My wife, Sharon, has been very specific with me on this and calling your program. She wanted me to outline these points.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is it possible that Annika Sorenstam's round today was trifled with? Is it possible that they fixed the round against her? Here is Joyce. Hi, Joyce. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm kind of just appalled by the conversation that the gentleman's having. It sounds to me that his wife being unfaithful to him, that she's making him feel so guilty that she's turned the tables on him, and he's now... begging for forgiveness, and I think she's the one that's being deceptive to him.
She showed me that I was wrong. Why else would she have an affair with Butch, who is a great friend of our family's, and he's been delivering the bottled water to our home? I was wrong in what I did.
But what did you do wrong, man?
I mean, what did you do wrong?
Yeah,
you didn't take her to sports activities. You didn't spend time with her, and that gives her the right to cheat on you?
She was involved in women's issues, and I was going to sales seminars. I was selfishly watching, football games on Sunday.
That's what men do. What's wrong with that?
Isn't anything wrong with that. So why is she making you...
Give in to her
for something she...
Sharon showed me that the best way for me to get her love back was to support all women's issues. And she also told me last night, and I thought, oh, my God, Sharon's right. Annika Sorenstam, they might have put something in her water or messed with her equipment.
It sounds to me you're brainwashed.
Oh, my God. What, ma'am, I am no more brainwashed than you are brainwashed by a person
I'm
you
not
love.
Brainwashed at all. It doesn't sound like your wife understands that people have different interests.
Ma'am, I hope that no man has to see another man on top of his wife. And she looked at me and she said, "You see what you made me do?"
You gotta be kidding me,
That is pathetic. That is pathetic
that
you're talking to you that way.
Why?
It is. It's something that she did wrong. She's making you feel bad. Why didn't she come to you and discuss it? Why didn't she say, you know what, our marriage is bad because you're not supporting me in some of the things? Why didn't she come to you and ask you to go to these things before she cheated on you?
It was a plea for help. She had sex with that man as a plea for help.
That ain't making sense. No woman cheats, or man cheats for that matter. What do you mean a plea for help?
She was... crying. Look, I'll tell you
this. She's making you feel guilty for something that she did, and you have fallen into her trap.
Oh, I know, I know she did something wrong, but also I did something wrong, too. And when Butch finished and he left, we sat down. I made some popcorn. We had a chat about it. And we've been able to...
Whoa. Are you telling me that you allowed this man to continue to stay in your house?
Well, you know, Joyce, I hope someday you have the happiness of the marriage that I have with Sharon.
I've been married 20 years and very happy. And my husband does the things he enjoys. And I do the thing that I enjoy, and we do things together. But it doesn't mean if he doesn't do the things I want, that I go mess around with somebody and say...
But when Butch left the house...
Wait. I want to get this straight. This man continued to make love to your wife, and then you let him leave, and then you sat down, made popcorn, and talked about it?
Oh, boy, Phil, you're so prehistoric. You really are.
What even prehistoric? What's prehistoric?
You don't understand what women need. They need to have the freedom to have, you know, if they want.
She's asking you
Sharon
to give her the freedom. She's asking you to have freedom to commit adultery and then make you feel bad for it because you didn't do it. And that's not
and
right.
And I think we should give women what they
surprised.
Want.
All right. I think, pal, there's a term, and I don't want to insult the lady on the line, but the initials are PW, and I think that's what you're suffering from.
I don't know what that is.
PW.
I'll go along with it.
What does that mean? Palomine or potato?
It's exactly what I thought when
P-whipped. P-whipped.
Pure whip?
All right, thank you, Joyce. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is this Sharon? Is that you, honey?
It's Joyce. It's not your wife, Sharon.
Oh, all right.
Pee-whipped. You don't know what that means.
Pear-whipped. Well, why don't you tell me, you stupid son of a...
I can't tell you because it's not acceptable to say on the radio, I guess. Buddy, your wife, you know what you need to do with your wife? You need to come home tonight. You need to say to her, by the way, honey, this weekend I'll be watching arena football, basketball, golf... hockey. I'll also be smoking cigars and drinking beer. And if you need me, I'll be in the den.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me or something?
No, I'm not kidding you. Listen to you, you fool.
Mr. Henry, if you came home and a man was on top of your wife, wouldn't you allow them to finish?
Yeah, that's what I do, man. I'd go into the
bathroom?
No, into the kitchen. I'd make myself a bowl of fruit or Cool Whip, and I'd wait for them to finish. You know what I'd do? I'd wait for them to finish, and when the guy came walking out the door, I'd have a nice sawed-off shotgun standing right there for him. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that you're violent, and I think you're wrong. And I can't understand the Neanderthal attitude. And what is PW?
I ain't gonna tell you.
Meow.
All right, anyway. Annika Sorenstam, whatever. She did a good job. Good for you, babe. Although, you can't be three-putting those greens, honey. You three-putt the greens in the PGA, you're going to get your ass kicked. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Foo Bar.
Mr. Wheeler, sir.
Yeah.
We're done with our interview, sir.
But I don't. When you said that I was PW, I don't.
Sir, we're done with our interview, and I need for you now to vacate the line. I want to get on to some other stuff I'm doing on my show.
Oh, I don't. When you say PW, are you talking about power windows?
I'm not saying power windows. You're PW. Don't mean you have got power windows.
I don't, Pink Wiener,
forget it, pal. Get lost, will you?
I'm going to have my wife, Sharon, call you. Then you'll be sorry and everything.
1-800-449-8686. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Dean Wheeler. Now, on yesterday's show, we had Vernon Dozier. He's a high school athletic coach talking about Annika Sorenstam and saying, boy, it's going to be, he's in favor of these gals, but it'll be the worst possible thing for her to do well because it'll only hurt. No, it'll be bad for her to do bad because it'll only hurt the women's rights movement. Some gal called in and said Vernon was just basically afraid of something.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, sir, I think I'm going to have to kick myself later, but I actually do agree with you in the fact that...
Thank you.
...there is the LPGA. No, and I'm not agreeing with you on every standpoint.
No,
definitely.
But you recognize the essential truthfulness of what I'm saying. Women need to just stay...
No, I'm not going to go that far, sir. What I'm going to tell you is there is the LPGA and there's the PGA. Traditionally, the LPGA is for women and the PGA is for men. What I am curious to know, sir, is what are you afraid of? Are you afraid that
I'm afraid that women are going to be hurt?
No.
I'm afraid that women are going to be hurt by this because when she goes out and hacks the crap out of that course, people are going to look at women anew and say, you know what? Maybe they don't deserve the extra opportunities. Maybe they don't deserve the extra promotion because look what this. And I guess I'll screw her name up again.
An Annika Sorenstam.
Annika
you
Sorenstam.
You know what, sir? I don't think you're afraid for women at all.
Yes,
because the way you've referred to women the entire evening, sir, with no disrespect, you're bashing them all on your own.
Roxy, I like you. I don't want to see you slapping moons over my mammy for the rest of your days in some, some diner.
You know what, sir? Actually, I don't think I'll ever find myself doing that, but for those people that do work in diners, all the power to them because sometimes you have to eat. Okay.
Well, ma'am, I am saying that you are a great gal, and I'd like to see. What are you doing for a living right now?
You know, sir, I used to be a flight attendant, a predominantly female occupation.
Exactly. Do you
want
to go back
to? Guess what I used to work with men, but guess what I do now, sir?
What's that, ma'am?
I'm a trained firefighter.
Good for you, because if Annika Sorenstam hacks that course to pieces, you're going to be back having some passenger in 8C rubbing your rear end as you're walking by with a tray full of coffee cups and you can't
do a thing
about it. I don't
think, sir, I'm trained as a firefighter. I don't think that I'll ever be back.
You better hope that...
In the cabin, sir, but you know what? I think you're scared of women because... You're scared of women because we actually can compete with
absolutely.
You and sometimes
yep.
we can actually do better.
You're in a man's job, so what do they have you do? Hold the hose?
Actually, what dictates it as a man's job, sir?
Well, first of all, you know as well as I do that most female firefighters are the ones that are in charge of turning on the water.
I would actually disagree with you, sir.
Wait a minute. The lady does this for a living, Mr. Dozier. How do you know?
What is she going to do? She turns
what
the water on.
What am I
going to
do, sir? Well,
and you
let's
hold
see,
that
if you're ever in a fire,
like
sir, I might have to pull your sorry ass out of there.
Wait a minute.
I might think twice, though.
Aren't you the guys that are supposed to turn the faucet on and off?
Actually, no, sir. I'm going to pull 250 pounds out of the burning building.
Yeah.
How much do you weigh, sir?
And you get to go for truck rides, as far as I know.
You know what, Mr. Dozier? You are being a smartass on purpose. I've just figured this out. And you don't want Ms. Sorenstam to win because you just simply don't want women competing. Forget about you being a...
That
really
is an absolute lie.
No,
I really think he's just scared of women, and that's why he's got to bash them, and he's really bashing a whole lot of people.
Ma'am, you know that female firefighters, their only job is feeding the Dalmatian.
Okay, sir, I hope you're never in a fire, and I hope you're never in an aircraft. And by all means, I hope you're never on a golf course, because you know what? Women are one thing. We get even,
look,
and we're very good at it,
you give me four strokes and two tanks of oxygen, and I can beat her.
All right.
You know what, sir?
Thank you.
You're going to need oxygen after the women of the world get a hold of you.
Thanks very much, Roxy.
Well, I hope they get a hold of me. Roxy, I just want to say one more thing. I hope they get a hold of me.
Yes, sir. And I do agree with you.
I hope they get a hold of me in the right place. I wanted to get that off. That's a good joke that I heard from Tom Edison, who's a friend of mine.
I do agree with you. LPGA versus PGA.
By the way,
sir,
yeah.
I think that you just really need to have a severe attitude adjustment.
No, I want to ask you, in all seriousness, ma'am, in all seriousness, did you get into firefighting just so you could slide down a pole?
You know something?
You know what,
Roxy? If he was in front of you, I wouldn't bother. If you hit him right in the mouth for that.
What? I'm joking around.
That's a crude,
rude... You know
rude...
what, sir? You just... My God, your mother.
Yeah,
I feel sorry
no
for
kidding.
Your mama.
When the alarm goes off, don't forget your purse.
What an ass.
You know, I don't carry a purse,
yeah,
sir.
I hope
you have a good night, sir. I hope the women of the world eat you alive and spit you out. Bye-bye.
Well, I don't want them to spit.
All right.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Oh, Mr. Henry, I just figured it out.
Now what?
PW, that's Paul Williams, the little guy that hung out with Pat McCormick and Smokey and the Bandit. And the...
Okay, that, by the way, was Vernon Dozier. That last ass was Dean Wheeler, who won't leave me alone. We just had him on for 45 minutes talking about Annika Sorenstam and how happy he is. And she did do well. She didn't do well, but she did well enough. I mean, hey, she beat 72 guys. I know it doesn't mean much to anybody. See, it's the only sport in the world where you got to, like, beat more guys than just 72 to be considered good enough to compete with men, right? In the world of football, let's say a woman had 72 tackles over the course of a season. Nah, that's, you know, that ain't good enough, baby. You're going to have to get up there with the Lawrence Taylors of the world, right? In golf, you get 70, you beat 72 guys, you don't even belong on the same course with them. And at what?
Pussy Whitehead or...
You shut up. So, Sorenstam did good. Now, I don't know how she finished. How'd she finish out today? Five over, six, whatever the hell, who cares? Beats the hell out of anybody that I've ever golfed with, I'll tell you that much, and beats the hell out of any golf score I ever had. But let me just say this, Annika, even though I am nowhere near the golfer you are, you three-putt those greens in the PGA, and you are dead meat, honey. You know it as well as I do, and that's exactly what happened today. Three-putt those greens, can't be doing that. You cannot, in the pros, three-putt the greens. And you never, ever, ever leave them short. Tom Watson, 1985. Will you hang up on that guy? You don't leave him short. You don't three-putt him. And you can't lay up. If you're going to play with these guys, and you know you're as good as, you know you're a great golfer, don't lay up. Go for it. Go for it. Go, 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 go. Fly that water, baby. Fly those rocks. Fly that trap. Don't be laying up nothing. I like you using the wood off the tee. I like that. Remember, you drive for show, but you putt for dough. Drive for show, putt for dough. Who cares how far you're hitting the ball off the tee? Got to get that thing on the green. And if you hadn't three-putted those greens, who cares whether you're on in three or four? Okay, one more time, and then I swear to God, I am going to come to your house and I'll kick your ass. What?
I figured out what the PW means.
What?
Phil who? Sharon came up with that. She's really right.
I'm going to come to your house and kick Sharon's ass, too.
Ow.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. That's Dean Wheeler. By the way, on Monday, we are going to have a Lloyd Bonafide Marathon. It's our annual Lloyd Bonafide Memorial Day. Who named that guy, anyway? Was it me? Must have been after a Southern Comfort. It must have been after one of your Chris Pelton Southern Comfort Marathons. Lloyd Bonafide Marathon, and it'll be our Memorial Day special, the French Poodle episode, the hot dog episode, and certainly the Elvis Hitch Kick at the Mall episode, along with Don't Look a Vet in the Eye. All of those coming up on Monday are Lloyd Bonafide Marathon. Go to our website. I got the exact thing you ought to do for Father's Day. Go to our website. Go to the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop. You get your dad a Bobby Dooley Western Estates Homeowners Association spa robe. Get him a latte mug. Pour him a cup of coffee in that on Father's Day, and then present to him the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt of the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. What a day! It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Now, Phil Henry.
All right, I don't know how you feel about that whole American Idol thing, but if I were you guys, I wouldn't take it lying down. Apparently, you want to just have them make a monkey out of you, and you're just going to sit there and take it? They're making a chimp out of you on that whole American Idol deal. They say they had a recount problem. Then they got that Simon guy going on shows and saying, well, here's what really happened, you see. It's, Yeah, thanks, Simon. We know what it's about. This thing's been in the works for a month. They were sitting around over there having a latte and a salad at the commissary, and they said, I got it. Ruben's the guy. And they had a big meeting on it, and now they're trying to make a monkey out of you guys by laying out that recount story, and you're buying it. You're buying it. Even my wife last night, when I got home, she don't know what I'm talking about. I said, honey, Don't you understand? She goes, I can't believe that they can't count the votes right. Well, there's no need to count the votes.
Uh-huh.
Because they never had to count the votes. They already... Oh, I know what you're saying. They already had the guy. Right. But can you believe they wrote it clearly on the card? Will you listen to what I'm saying? No, I am hearing what you're saying. You're saying what? I'm saying that Rubin was a shoo-in anyway. They already decided it was going to be him, and all the rest of this stuff is bullcrap. They just made it up.
Absolutely. But can you believe Ryan Seacrest is so stupid that he doesn't...
Oh, come on, will you? I ain't even talking about that. Let me put it another way. I know. Guy tuning in tonight says, is he still talking about that? Jeez, at 5 o'clock, you know, or 7 o'clock, whenever I'm listening to this, he was talking about it yesterday. That's right, because it needs to be said. When you voted for Clay, it was meaningless. From the moment you picked up the phone, it would be meaningless. Because Rubin was the only guy that was ever going to win. See what I'm saying? Now, they're even making a bigger ape out of you. By feeding the press with stories about how there's going to be a recount and how Ryan Seacrest is a dumbass. Can you believe that that guy Simon called him a dumbbell on a morning show today? He said, well, he's such a dumbass, he can't read the card right. See, now they got a little infighting going on. It's all baloney. And if I were you guys, I wouldn't take it laying down, but I guess you want to. If I were you, I'd voice my complaint. In fact, it wouldn't even be a complaint. All you got to do is let them know you're not a monkey on a leash with a tin cup, that you have a mind of your own and you know what they're up to. That's all you got to do. You got to let them know, you know what? Good going, guys. Nice try, but we're on to you. That's what I think you ought to say. Nice try, Fox, but we know Rubin was a shoe-in from the gate. If I were you, I'd dial 310-584-2000. Yes, that number again, 310-584-2000. But don't tell anybody where you heard that. And that's the Fox programming complaint line. Let them know that they ain't going to make no chimp out of you, that you know from the gate it was Rubin, and all their other baloney about it being a recount, and call in now with your votes, because you never know, then you know from the gate all of it was meaningless. Unless, of course, you like being made a baboon out of. Or you like being a baboon made out of. Or you like being, or you like making out with a baboon. I don't know what it is I'm saying, but you know what I mean. Unless you like that, you want him to make a little ape out of you, fine. You want to go, you want to swing around the cage, huh? Every time you call a show, should I just go, Phil Hendry show? Should I have Chris do a little monkey talk on the phone? Yeah, I want to talk to Phil about, yeah, that's exactly right. I live in Denver. Because we can do that. But I don't think you guys are that dumb. I think you know what's up. And I think you just kind of sit there and suck on it like we all do. We all do. We just sit there. We let them make a chimp out of us. We know what they're doing. But we go ahead and we watch it. And we say to ourselves, well, what can we do? They're big. They make a lot of money. They sell a lot of ad time. And I'm just a lowly consumer of this stuff. And I turn it on. And I watch it, even though these guys think they're actually pulling something really beautiful. But all you got to do is let them know that you're onto them. Hey, you know what, Fox? I love The Simpsons. I love watching NFL football. But don't ever think for 1 minute that we don't know. You are full of crap. Put about 5 syllables in the word crap. Crap. That number again. No, really, don't be offensive and don't be abusive. Be respectful, but just say, hi, Fox, my name is Elmer Schmerbs. I'm calling from Lexington, Kentucky. I watched American Idol the other night, and you're not fooling me with your recount or your phony baloney, you know, like it was a vote thing. Forget it, baby, forget it. We're on to you. Love the show, but we'd prefer not to be lied to in the future. That's what you say. Hi, Fox. We love the show, but we'd prefer not to be lied to in the future. If you have any decency left, would you please have Mr. Murdoch call me? Or anything you want to say. The number there is 310-584-2000. I think that, see, to me, I think every time you reach out to the electronic media, you don't necessarily change it, but you reach out and you say, we know you're full of crap. Every time you do that, especially to a big company like this, it worries them. Believe me, they get a little nervous. They get a little nervous. Because what it hints at is that people may be onto them so much, a scandal may erupt. Now, I don't think anything's going to happen in this case. I think they're going to come out of it smelling like a rose. But you may make a few people nervous enough to have to stop for a little extra Tums on the way home. You may make a few of those big wigs over there, some of those big shots over there, some of those suspender-snapping jackasses over there feel just a little nervous when they're going home. You know, they forget to stop for a red light. Maybe they get sideswiped or something. You know, just...
President Fox is in the hospital. He got hit broadside.
Well, I was thinking about American Idol and how I was really going to take it in the shorts on this one. Next thing I knew, it was a large Amway truck.
Oh, I understand.
You know, that's just letting them know that you're not the monkey that they think you are. That you're not just the mindless respondent to a survey that you are. That you're not just another mindless Nielsen family member. That you're not just another number. That you're not just another overnight. That you're not just another 0.5 on the shares from L.A. or Atlanta or San Francisco. That you're not just another representing 6 million households. That you're not just another consumer. You're a person with a mind, and you know when somebody's shoveling bullcrap at you. And the other night on that American Idol, man, they showered you with it. You were standing in a literal manure shower. It was raining, not cats and dogs, the stuff that comes out of a cats and dog's ass. That's what it was raining. And you guys had to stand in it. Now, you got a nice show out of it, no problem, right? But those guys at Fox, they think you're just a bunch of vine-swinging, banana-eating, Samsonite luggage-throwing chimps that you're buying all of this recount baloney. So I say be respectful, be nice about it, but tell them, hi, this is one of those Nielsen families. Just let you know, you got a great show, but we aren't buying that whole recount thing, and you guys better clean it up in the future, okay? Otherwise, there may be a serious investigation into your baloney practices, if you'll pardon the expression. And we ain't talking about what you do when you get home. We're talking about what you're doing at the office. So that number is 310-584-2000, and just bug them. Don't be rude, just bug them. This is one of those rare moments when you can kind of take back a little bit of just a little itsy-bitsy bit of the power, the real power, which is really in the way that the world is represented to us through the media. Not so much what's going on in Washington. Forget that, because even the cats in Washington are scrambling to get on TV. All that other stuff. So Annika Sorenstam, if you just are tuning in, you haven't been around, and you're not really a golf fan, and that's okay. The story is that, you know, she did not do well today. She didn't do well enough. I think she was like 5 or 6 over, but she missed the cut. And what is the cut? I have no idea, but it's a score that you have to shoot at or lower to make the Saturday and Sunday rounds, and she didn't do it. But she did well, and it was really amazing to hear all of the players that supported her. It was amazing to hear the fans that were out there supporting her. Wow, things have really changed, haven't they? How do you think Hootie Johnson's feeling right now? How do you think that guy's feeling with his green jacket? He's probably sitting there just weeping. He's weeping into a hanky that was handed to him by his black attendant. Nah, Mr. Johnson, I don't like to see you crying like that. Please, Jefferson, one of your snot rags.
Yes, sir.
Poor old Hootie. Hey, Hootie, question. What is that, Hootie and the Blowfish? Is that what is that name? What's that supposed to mean? Are you a pot smoker or something? Where does a cat named Hootie get the name Hootie? I know Hootie and the Blowfish. That's probably some stoner's dream or fantasy. But you being called Hootie, a grown man with a green jacket? Well, now that I think about it, that green jacket don't represent just a green jacket. Know what I'm saying? Because over there, why do you think we call it Amen Corner? They grow some of the finest green. So old Hootster is looking at this, and he is, man, having to make multiple trips to the bathroom. Why is that, Jefferson?
They call my boss Hootie because he wise like an owl.
Thank you, Jefferson. That's true.
He a wise man.
Look, why are you still here doing this, man? You could be out. You could actually be on the PGA Tour.
No, sir. No, sir. I've always said I'd stay by Mr. Hootie. Live and let live is what I say. He's always been fair to me. I don't know about them broads, everything like that, how he treat them skirts. But he always treat me good.
See, Jefferson's loyal. He doesn't want to be free. He wants to be a slave and live out back in the shack and everything.
Well, I think you really got to bust out. I think you should go into business for yourself, something like that.
No, sir, not at all. Now, if you excuse me, sir, I've had about a muff of this nonsense. I've got to go and wipe down Mr. Johnson's undershorts. I got to scrub the bacon strips out.
Thank you, Jefferson.
Sometime he let me wear the green jacket when I give him a rub down.
That's right.
1-800-449-8686. So that was called A Day at Hootie's.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Speaking of making a monkey out of you, you know, the Scott Peterson attorneys are now trying to sell this one. It was a satanic murder. Oh, well, of course. You know, those satanic murders, they happen all the time, don't they? Well, guess what? No, they don't. They like you to believe they do. Look, just because a guy wears the incisor fangs and paints his face red, in other words, he looks like Chris Pelton, don't mean he's a satanic cult member. It may mean, like Chris Pelton, he's just a born-again killer. He's just a whack job who, like, I'll give you, and we've got tons of really cool examples. Because I entered in satanic murders in the Google, and oh man, you wouldn't believe what it spit out. Listen to the headlines. Satanists killed man on devil's orders. Tame's torso was human sacrifice. Satanist murder could not have been prevented. Schoolboys, deadly revenge. Satanic murders of human sacrifice cases from around the world. The Fred West killings, were they satanic ritual killers? Pastor gets life for family murders. Judgment Day for German Satanists. And on it goes. And the first thing that happens is the press gives credence to this thing that they're Satanists. Whatever, just because the guy is... You know, if a guy goes home, pricks his own finger, and sucks his own blood, don't mean he's a Satanist. Why am I saying all this? It's because Scott Peterson's lawyers have got to have better things to do than to be defending this guy. I don't care what they say about a woman who's missing or a secret witness. This guy's as guilty as sin. You heard it here, man. I ain't going back on what I believe. In fact, I'm even more convinced than ever. Guilty as sin. And he's cute. He's real cute. He's like any psychopath you encounter. You'd swear to God this guy was Santa Claus. You'd swear he's one of the Christmas elves. Any of these psychopaths you encounter, you would let spend the night in a motel with your daughter. You would. That's how good they are. That's how good they are. Now, some people are pretty smart. Like this Amber Fry was pretty smart. She said, he's too good to be true. No guy is this perfect. I've been around enough guys. I know they're pieces of crap, essentially. Which, very good, Amber, because you're right. Well, not in my case. But anyway, so she hired a private eye, had this guy followed. And you know what the private eye found out? Nothing, because she had to find out that he was married after she found out about Lacey Peterson getting married. So, getting murdered, rather. So, Amber, get your money back from that private eye. What the hell was that about? I hired a private eye. I'll have some information for you shortly. Okay, I'm waiting. By the way, I just read the news here that this guy's got a wife and he killed her.
Oh, really? Okay, well, I'll see if I can track that down.
Yeah, just buy a newspaper. It's only 35 cents at the corner.
Righto.
What the hell was that? What the hell did she hire? What is wrong with me, man? You know what's wrong? My wife is snoring, so I'm getting up in the middle of the night and sleeping somewhere else, and it's generally outside. No, she hired a private investigator. Now, Peterson has got these guys believing that some satanic cult might have done it. A brown van, men and women, the Manson clan, Squeaky Fromm, who knows, who cares? This guy is a killer. A court in Germany has heard a chilling and lurid account of the death of a man at the hands of Satanists who say they were acting on the devil's orders. Daniel Ruda and his wife Manuela admit killing Frank Hagen with hammer blows and 66 knife stabs in July last year. These people are no more... These guys don't belong to any church. They, like, killed a cat once and they drank each other's blood. This is not a Satanist. They're a couple of mixed-up kids. Kind of makes them sound a little benign, doesn't it? Just a couple of mixed-up kids put 66 knife wounds into a guy. An expert in ritualistic murders has told a police conference that the dismembered body of a 5-year-old boy had all the hallmarks of a ritualistic death. Now, if you talk to the FBI, and you talk to the CIA, they'll tell you bullcrap. They don't believe that such things even exist. That what they are, in point of fact, are the obsessive killing mannerisms of serial murderers. Serial murderers, look at, Jeffrey Dahmer had heads in the icebox. What was that? Was he a priest in the higher head church or something of Milwaukee? Was he a priest in the frozen head church of Milwaukee? Was he a high priest? He had heads in the icebox. He had them in formaldehyde. The murder of a 12-year-old boy by a psychotic Satanist could not have been prevented, a child protection inquiry said. What are they getting the Satanist stuff? This is what feeds into this Scott Peterson bullcrap about there being Satanist killers. This is just some psycho. A single word scrawled on white cardboard stuck to a classroom window with chewing gum summed up the despair of hundreds of German school children as they cowered under the desks. Help, it said. This was this guy that took a gun to a school in Germany last year. He claimed to be a Satanist. And on and on and on it goes. Matthew Hardman cut out the heart of his 90-year-old neighbor, Mabel Lyshon. He was a 19-year-old teenager. Fred West, he killed a bunch of people, including his own daughter. He supposedly was a psycho-Satanist. A Hungarian pastor was sentenced along with his own daughter for murdering a bunch of people. He supposedly is a Satanist. And then, of course, we have the story of the Rudas, and on and on and on it goes. In fact, the Israelis, many Israelis, believe Arab Islamic terrorists are Satanists, basically. They blame that guy for everything. Satan, don't they? Hey, maybe he's responsible for a lot of stuff, but I'm going to tell you something right now. This guy Peterson is as guilty as God made the freaking earth under my feet. And they let them shuck and jive this guy out of that. Boy, they are dumber than they look. There ain't a jury anywhere on the planet Earth that's going to let this guy walk after what happened with OJ. Forget it, baby. Forget it. Scott, you didn't take that into account, did you, man? You can come up with all the baloney excuses you want, that Satanists did it, a man from Mars, or some guy came down from another planet. But the fact is, any jury that takes a look at your ugly mug is going to put you away just on principle. You're going to have to take the fall for OJ. Oh, man. What a world, what a life, huh? I'm in love. You're going to be up there, some guy calling you Mary while OJ is out kicking it at the 19th hole. Good job. All right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I don't care.
Why do you always scroll up that mean to him?
Because the guy comes in here with jokes that are off the internet.
Just look at, what do you mean jokes off the internet? It's funny material. God knows your show could use it. Bud, you there?
Right here, Mr. Hall.
Go ahead, I'm looking forward to this. What's the name of this?
The top 10 things that sound dirty in golf. But am not.
There you go, Phil. The top 10 things that sound dirty in golf, but am not.
But am not.
Don't worry. Oh, well. Excuse me. What's this, the city spelling bee? Just let him do it.
Go ahead, bud. Do the top 10 things. But do we have to have the laugh track?
Yes, you got to have the laugh track. Of course you got to have the laugh track. Don't you watch television? People won't know whether to laugh or not.
You're kidding, right?
What?
Are you trying to tell me that I have to have a laugh track so people will know to laugh?
Why do you think they put one in television shows?
Well, because I thought the audience...
Oh, the audience. Half the time, they're not even laughing. They put it after a joke on a TV show to let the idiots that are watching television know to laugh. Don't you know anything?
You don't know anything.
Right.
Hey, bud, I got to take it from him. I don't have to take it from you.
All right, watch it. You do anything to the tard, you're going to have to answer to me.
That's right. Now I want to do it.
Do your top 10 things that sound dirty in golf but aren't.
All right, and get the laugh track ready.
You're asking me to play it.
Yeah, you're in charge of that.
Just put your hand on a button. I'll point to you when I need it.
Yes, sir.
Fine, Phil.
Yeah, you don't like being substantial to me.
It's subservient. Dumb ass.
I told you to stop it.
See, that's what I mean.
Tell your freaking joke, man.
All right. Top 10 things that sound dirty in golf but aren't. Number 10, nuts, my shaft is bent.
That great?
Yeah, it's fine, man. It's right off the internet.
Who cares? Where do you get your material?
I write my own material.
Yeah, no wonder it ain't funny.
Bud, don't reach over here and hit the button.
I thought that needed a laugh track.
Thanks, bud.
You're welcome, Mr. Hall.
Don't ever reach over here and hit the button. I'm in charge of my own show. I said don't hit it. My name is Phil Hendry.
No!
Don't hit the card!
I tell him not to hit the button then.
Don't hit the button, bud.
Okay.
Go on, top 10 things that sound dirty in golf.
After 18 holes, I can barely walk.
Very good.
Number 8. Wow, you really whacked the hell out of that sucker. How come he not laugh?
Because he don't think it funny.
You don't think he's funny, huh?
No, I don't.
You're jealous. Number 7. Look at the size of his putter. Number 6. Keep your head down and spread your legs a bit more. Number 5. Mind if I join your threesome? Number 4, stand with your back turned and drop it.
Beautiful.
Number 3, my hands are so sweaty, I can't get a good grip. Number 2, nice stroke, but your follow-through has a lot to be desired. And a number 1 reason of something that sounds dirty in golf but isn't, hold up, I need to wash my balls first.
Top 10 thing on the Phil Hendry Show that sounds dirty. Hey, bud.
Yeah?
Why don't you,
He pointed to something, Mr. Hall.
I can well imagine.
Okay, bud, thanks a lot. The top 10 things that sound dirty in golf but aren't.
Did you laugh?
No, I didn't laugh because...
I told you to laugh.
You gotta be...
I said to laugh. Good.
No, he didn't laugh at all.
Do it again, bud. I want to hear him laugh.
Oh, come on.
Do it again, bud. I want to hear him laugh.
Okay, Mr. Hall.
You got to be putting me on, man. If I knew I had to laugh, I would have laughed.
Of course you got to laugh. You always should make the tard feel good.
Number 10. My nuts, my shaft is bent. Number 9. After 18 holes, I can barely walk.
Do it.
And number 8, you really whacked the hell out of that sucker.
Okay, that's better.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. Don't touch it, I said.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Anyway, getting back to the fun stuff, the Lacey and Scott Peterson story. And I think it's a satanic ritual murder. Here's why. Her body was found, and it was badly, badly mutilated. The legs were cut off. The head was cut off. And so on and so forth. So that's why they thought it was a satanic murder. Now, I have here the 11 Satanic Rules of the Earth by Anton LaVey. Let's read these and sort of go through them one at a time, and you can follow along at home. Number one, do not give opinions or advice unless you're asked. Number two, do not tell your troubles to others unless you are sure they want to hear them. So far, I don't hear anything I disagree with. Other than number one, I happen to give my opinions even though I'm asked or not asked, depending. And that's how I make my living. So I'll give my opinion whether you ask me or not. So I guess I'm due for a human sacrifice, right? Number three, when in another's lair, show him respect or else do not go there. I agree with that. Number four, if a guest in your lair annoys you, treat him cruelly and without mercy. I agree with that. Number five, do not make sexual advances unless you are given the mating signal. True. Number six, do not take that which does not belong to you unless it is a burden to the other person and he cries out to be relieved. Totally agree. By the way, these are the 11 satanic rules of the earth. Number seven, acknowledge the power of magic if you have employed it successfully to obtain your desires. If you deny the power of magic after having called upon it with success, you will lose all that you have obtained. Number eight, do not complain about anything to which you need not subject yourself. Very true. Number nine, do not harm little children. Number ten, do not kill non-human animals unless you are attacked or for your food. Can't disagree with that. And finally, number 11 of the 11 Satanic Rules of the Earth by Anton LaVey, when walking in open territory, bother no one. If someone bothers you, ask him to stop. If he does not stop, destroy him. And I totally agree with that, too. What's to disagree with? It says, don't harm other people, see? So no devil worshiper could have done it. And there you go. The story of the Satan worshippers and the whole Scott Peterson trial. And what's going on with that? Well, he did it, but the thing about Scott is he's as good a liar as the Fox Television Network. I mean, he'll look you right in the face and tell you that Rubin won fair and square, won't he? I think Scott used to work for Fox. He'll look you straight in the eye and say, Rubin, he won honestly. People voted for him. Okay, Scott, I believe you. Remember, don't let him make a monkey out of you. Call 310-584-2000. That's our Don't Let Them Make a Monkey Out of You campaign, 310-584-2000, and tell them you're onto them, you love them dearly, you want them to have your firstborn, but you ain't believing for 5 seconds that Rubin was anything other than a shoe-in 6 weeks ago when the suits got together over there with their suspenders snapping them during lunch. Phil Hendry Show, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, television being the business that it is, the practice, do you watch this show? One of the problems is I watch very little TV, but I have watched the practice. It's not bad, but they fired everybody. They fired everyone off of the practice. You didn't hear about it? They fired Dylan McDermott. They fired everybody. Just about everybody. And the reason why they canned them is because, well, first of all, I'll give you a little bit of inside gossip. I don't know why they canned these cats necessarily, but I heard that Dylan McDermott is a real slob. That's what I heard from some people on a set that I was working on who used to work with him. Apparently, he walked off the set one day because he thought people had their, you know, they weren't paying attention to some crap. And finally, Kelly came in. He fired Dylan McDermott, Laura Flynn Boyle, Kelly Williams, and Lisa Gay Hamilton. Came as a shock to them. No one knew they were going to get axed. When Kelly called Boyle, Kelly meaning David Kelly, when he called Laura Flynn Boyle, she was screaming and crying and freaking out. Boyle had told Entertainment Tonight just 2 weeks earlier, all I know is all original seven actors will be back. Ha ha! Yeah! I'm going to take my show over to Warner Brothers. The word is on the street, the guy that runs Warner Brothers likes talent. He actually gets it about people's talent. The word is out there that this guy likes talent, that he knows good material, and he's not holding on to his own ass afraid of his own shadow. That's what we're going to do. I don't know what that's got to do with Laura Flynn Boyle and the rest of those guys losing their gig on the practice, but anyway. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show here. By the way, our website is philhenryshow.com, the Citizens Auxiliary Police Travel Mug, the Black and White TV Latte Mug. Let's see, our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is there. Our spa robe is there. Our T-shirt is there. Our Western Estates, let's see, our Western Estates golf shirt is there as well, plus the CD. Now, we have a best-of CD. It's a two, it is a two-CD set, and this is for $20. And what this does is it helps support My Friend's Place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. It's a terrific thing to do for a great organization of people. All of the money goes to them. And we've been supporting them for about 7 years. We really hope that even if you take the CD and you throw it in a garbage can, that you at least give it a shot. So that's on our website. And the reason why we are plugging all of that souvenir stuff is because for Father's Day, you can't beat it. Also on Monday, Memorial Day, we're going to be having our marathon, our Lloyd Bonafide Marathon, which is a 3 hours of Lloyd. He is our Korean War veteran, and Lloyd is going to be on talking about, you know, first of all, his Elvis impersonation, raising money for the widows, his the day that he killed a French poodle because it was French, the hot dog show, and Don't Look a Vet in the Eye. All of that is coming up on our Memorial Day show, which will be starting at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern, or if you tape delay the show, 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern, or if you don't play it in those times at 1 o'clock in the morning or 5 a.m. or whatever these stations are repeating our show, who knows, who can ever keep track? 11 o'clock at night until 1, you know, whenever we're on, you'll be able to hear that. That is, of course, if we're not being preempted for the, who is it this week? The San Antonio Mavericks or the Los Angeles Spurs or whoever the hell is preempting the show. Because, you know, we're on at night and God knows you got to get that sports in. Even if the team is doing 1-90, you got to get it in. All right, the French are protesting officially now their treatment to the United States Embassy. They are actually protesting now their treatment in the United States and the way that they're being treated by the United States. And apparently they just don't like it anymore. Apparently they think that they're being treated unfairly. And what is usually the case with the French, they're lying. They say that three reporters from France were mistreated at LA International Airport. Well, no, they weren't. We found out about this. These are three guys from some TV channel in France. Apparently, two of them got through immigration without any problem, but one of them was denied access to the United States on the grounds that he lacked the required visa. Totally legitimate. The two other guys, who could have passed through and gone on to do their work, decided to stay and be a pain in the ass to the customs agents or to the immigration officials, and were such a pain in the ass that they were told to get out of their faces, and they wouldn't do it, so they detained these guys. Now, they're claiming they were put into handcuffs. That's a lie, too. I found out. Bullcrap. Another instance where some French reporters came to LAX, once again, two of them passed through immigration without a problem, and another was stopped by an official who said he needed a press visa. He didn't have it. The two other, and the French are real pushy, in case you don't know it. They like to really get in your face and tell you that they're from France, which means, obviously, that they have a higher level of civilization, which, of course, they don't. That's one of the great fallacies, that the French have any civilization at all. And I'm not kidding you either. You see, a lot of people think I'm being gratuitously cruel to the French because I'm on some bandwagon. I have never appreciated them. Never. Not since I first traveled there as a young man in the early 80s, and then most recently with my wife. I've never liked them, never liked their country. As a matter of fact, I find their country so boring, so utterly boring, that 7 days is all you need in France. 7 days is all you need. I've been there. I've talked to them. I've been around their country. Dull doesn't even begin to explain France. So, moving on. Now they come up with yet another lie. And this one we couldn't even track down at all. They claim that a man speaking French was beaten badly in a Los Angeles restaurant. That never even happened. It never happened. There's no account of it in any Los Angeles newspaper. There's been no account of it in any press report here. They can't even name the restaurant. They're making stuff up. They're making stuff up. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they're starting to get hit a little bit by this economic boycott. It's starting to squeeze them a little bit. Not a lot, but just enough to make them sweat. Just enough to make them realize that maybe they screwed up. Now, this ain't the U.S. government doing it to them. It's the American consumer. You ought to hear my wife when she took a look at a jar of mustard in our it was a Dijon mustard product from France. I thought she was going to kill the person that bought it. Fortunately, it was me, so you know, what is she going to do, kill me? And there's no, I ain't bringing home no paycheck. I forgot, okay? I bought a Dijon mustard thing, and I didn't look at the label. So they're so sweating what's going on right now that these guys are starting to make stories up. Stuff that never even happened. Guys put in handcuffs, treated badly at the airport. Look, if you think this is such a difficult situation to deal with, don't come into the situation at all. Don't come into America. You know what they were doing here? They were going to film, some story. It was, they're covering the video games trade show. Well, there you go. The video games trade show has got to be of enormous import for a French TV station. Anyway, that's the latest on the frogs. They lie, man. God, do they lie. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we'll hear from Jeff Dowder on Stonehenge. Jeff Dowder, of course, a part-time mechanical physicist at Caltech. He also operates a snow shovel for the city of Manhattan Beach. He'll be with us to talk about Stonehenge, and they found some skeletons there. They found bodies at Stonehenge. Now, when I say that, I don't want somebody out there saying, God, more satanic murders. No, they're 4,300-year-old bodies. People saying they found bodies near Stonehenge. What is going on? What are these people in those caravans going crazy? Why can't we close the parks after 11? What are they doing? Are they killing each other? Is that what they're doing now? Are they killing each other in the national parks? Are they? No, they're 4,300-year-old bodies. I'm sorry. One of the things that we wanted to talk about, I don't really know whether you guys care. I'm in a bit of a conundrum. I have two conundrums here this hour. Let me go to the first one. LeBron James, high school hoop phenom. Never heard of him, have you? Well, let me tell you about him. LeBron signed a $90 million shoe contract with Nike months before he will play his first minute in the NBA. The deal, the richest ever for a rookie in any sport, astonished basketball fans and marketing experts who marveled that Nike would invest so much in an unproven 18-year-old player. Wow, that's phenomenal. That's Tiger Woods money, said John Barber during a break from shooting hoops at 134th Street and Lenox Terrace in New York City. He's the most hyped player ever, even more than Michael Jordan, Shaq, or even Kobe. This young man has $90 million. ESPN reported the 7-year deal that he has signed with the NBA, that he has signed with Nike, includes a $10 million signing bonus. He already drives an $80,000 Hummer, and yesterday's announcement capped a heated bidding war among Nike, Reebok, and Adidas. LeBron James is the name of this young guy, and he's not the first guy to be drafted out of high school in the NBA. The NBA pioneered something called the hardship draft, which I have no problem with that, and a lot of people have. It seems to be a fallback position to individuals who don't like the idea of an 18-year-old kid making a lot of money. They'll say, why doesn't he go to college? Well, here's why he's not going to college. A, maybe he's a dumbass and he won't get through college. But more importantly, B, were he to be injured during his college hoop career, he don't have no pro career. Goodbye, $90 million. Hello, janitorial broom. So I believe that if a young man consults with his family and says basketball is the best way that I'm going to make my way through life, you're damn right he's going to sign an NBA contract. He'd be nuts not to. He'd be out of his mind not to. But this story, to me, wasn't even really about LeBron James. It was about me. The first thing I thought of when I read this, I thought about me. I thought about, well, why did I make the choices that I made in my life? What did I do when I was 18 years old? Did anybody know that I was alive? Well, the answer to that is a big, resounding no. I came out of Arcadia High School. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. I remember hitchhiking up to St. Mary's College that fall with a buddy of mine to go to a Halloween party they were having up at St. Mary's in the Bay Area. And then hitchhiking back to Los Angeles on Monday and going back to my job stocking the toy store department shelves at Fedco on Colorado Boulevard. That's what I was doing at the age of 18, stocking the toy store shelves. I had a seasonal gig at Fedco wearing a green vest and having people run up to me and go, do you know where the, when you pull the string out of the back of the doll, you know the one I'm talking, I think it's in the back. Okay, can you get me five of them and get, because on New Year's or Christmas Eve, parents looking for toys, there's nothing more vicious. There's nothing more vicious in nature than parents looking for toys on Christmas Eve. They'll rip your throat clean out. They'll tear your windpipe out and use it as a flavor straw. That's what I was doing. And I was going to Pasadena City College, taking stupid classes like anthropology. And I just quit. And then I drove to Florida with my friends and I went into construction work. In other words, the point being, and I want to tell you about my life because it's dull compared to LeBron James. But the point being, he's a guy, 18 years old, $90 million. I don't know what, And what makes people think? People always say the same thing. Oh, yeah, you know, he's 18. He's going to piss that money away. You watch what happens. You know, how do you know? I bet you he's got some people with him who will help him invest it. Who knows? Tiger Woods ain't doing bad. He knows what he's doing with that money. He doesn't need anybody advising him either. Although I'm sure his father gives him a little bit of advice. $90 million. 18 years of age. It's second only to Woods' five-year, $125 million pact with Nike. I never in my wildest dreams would believe that an athlete's endorsement would mean that much to a company. But you know what? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's a drop in the bucket for Nike. Maybe the guys at Nike are sitting back and smirking. They're laughing. They're going, can you believe I'm listening to a guy on the radio today? He thinks $125K is some kind of a big deal. I wipe my nose with that kind of money. You kidding? Maybe it's no big thing. I've seen athletes and I've seen people endorse products. I can't tell you if it makes me buy the product, but I can't tell you if it doesn't. I don't know. I may remember that product because I saw Tiger Woods dealing it. Or I might have seen LeBron. I have no idea. Here's the stuff that I buy in my house that Tiger Woods may or LeBron James may endorse. I buy beer, but it's Heineken. And I don't know that those guys have ever plugged that. I buy Coca-Cola and Diet Coke for the kids. I buy Tri-Tip from Vons. I ain't never seen LeBron James talking about the Tri-Tip at Vons. Hi, I'm LeBron James. I'm recently signed to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I'd just love to get those little sausage samples at Costco. Go back there and get a little crouton and then a big jar of that Simple Balanced Butter. I never seen that. I buy bacon. What? Tiger Woods for Sizzling. Hi. Just before a big round, man, do I love this reconstituted meat. Jeez. It's great stuff, and it's made from reconstituted simulated pig fat. New from Sizzling. I'm Tiger Woods. I don't eat pork, as a rule, because I'm a Muslim. But anyway, what's with the name Tiger? Well, that's a Muslim name. But I will tell you this, for all you whiteys out there, I shouldn't go there. That's a low blow. Just have yourself some bacon. Forget it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, folks. You're all great. I'm Tiger Woods. Thank you. Keep coming out. We love you. You know what I'm saying? Do you buy products based on a guy's endorsement? What are you going to do, man? But it's not about that. What it is, it's the subliminal message. The subliminal message. Read a book called The Hidden Persuaders. Doesn't matter if you say to yourself consciously, I ain't going to buy anything just because LeBron James tells me to buy it. I'm not going to buy no Nike sneakers because LeBron James tells me to buy Nike sneakers. But how do you know? I ain't going to buy a sneaker because Tiger Woods said to. Here's the reason why that's an effective use of an advertising dollar, to get a guy like that. Because deep in the back of your mind, whether you want to believe it or not, there's a part of you that will always wonder, is LeBron James a great basketball player because he wears Nike? Maybe he is. Maybe I'll give it the benefit of the doubt, and I'll wear Nike. That's just the way it is. Air Jordan. Now, the kids bought it because kids, well, they're stupid. But actually, the dumb ones were the parents. But Air Jordan's a great example of that. The kid will never know. Maybe I would have been a great NBA star if I would buy those Air Jordan sneakers. I'll say, no, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy those Air Jordan sneakers. Well, come on, kid. That's not what makes a great basketball player. Well, I'm hedging my bets. Hedging your bets. You can't even dribble a ball yet. You can't even hold the ball yet. You're five. Just don't worry. I'll get there. But I got the basics. I got the sneakers, okay? $200 sneakers for a five-year-old. This is driving me nuts. Good thing you make the big bucks. Same thing with Nike. I ain't going to buy Nike, but, well, I don't know. Maybe I better because this guy, LeBron James, the kid's fantastic. And I don't see Adidas or Reebok pitching me. How good can they be when I don't see any big-name cat pushing the product? See what I'm saying? What do they got on Reebok? They got some guy. Hi, I'm Bill Swink, and I run daily in the Hawaiian Triad. Oh, forget it. You don't want these shoes. You don't care about me. Now tune over to the Nike ad. That's what the Reebok ad is. It just tells you to tune back to the Nike ad because they got nobody. By Reebok. Now back to the Nike ad. The Cleveland Cavaliers have drafted LeBron James, and he's expected to get a three-year basketball contract worth nearly $11 million. That's a little over $3 million a year, which is better than a kick in the crotch with a steel-toed stormtrooper boot, wouldn't you say? Along with the $90 million, putting the one carried over the three, then the five, three, that'd be $101 million. I don't think it's enough. I think he needs more. And if I were his agent, I would be disgusted with the Cleveland Cavaliers throwing that kind of insult on the table. And I'd tell them to take it and pound it right back up where they got it. And when they're serious, come back with a serious offer. And as far as Nike's cheap money is concerned, I would sneeze on that contract. And then here, go ahead, that's my signature. I'd go ahead and blow my nose into it, look at it, and then hand it back to the Nike representatives. I think for a young man like LeBron James, with the gifts that he has with a basketball, I think $90 million is an absolute insult. And I think Nike ought to be ashamed of themselves. I think they're racist, if you want my honest opinion. I think they're undervaluing the kid because they hate blacks at Nike. They hate blacks with a passion at Nike. So they offer this kid an absolutely insulting contract of $90 million just to say, ha, 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 I bet you're dumb enough to sign it, too. Well, guess what, people? I'm getting on the phone, and I'm calling LeBron, and I'm cluing him in on what's going on at Nike. They're trying to make a monkey out of these guys. Excuse the use of the term monkey. And I don't think it's fair at all. I've totally turned around on this thing. I think the Nike deal stinks and smacks of colonial, institutionalized racism. And the sooner they get the message over there at that sneaker company, the better. Go with Reebok, baby. They're based in England. They treat people good. Not Nike with their insulting, rotten, foul, racist deal. All right. By the way, I have a pair of Nike at home, and they're really good early in the morning for running. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Good, Jeff. Jeff, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Jeff, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I wanted to talk just a little bit about if you had seen the news about some skeletal remains they found at Stonehenge, which is, some scientists believe, a ancient sacrificial area in the south of England.
I referenced it earlier. What about it?
Well,
these are, what, skeletons?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're what? They're like 4,000 years old?
Exactly. That's exactly. Allegedly, they found 4 adults and 2 children and buried in a hole over there. Now, this is a place that is known for its sacrificing humans for religious purposes. And this is pre-Christian Europe. So I think it's pretty fascinating about it.
Well, what would you say is the significance of the 4 adults and the 2 children?
I'm sorry?
What would you say is the significance of them finding 4 adults and 2 children?
I think that it was a father and mother and 2 children and an aunt and uncle that were visiting maybe for the weekend, and they all got, they said, well, look, we're getting sacrificed.
So what? So they sacrificed?
So, yeah, they sacrificed all of them. I don't know. But the point that I'm trying to make here...
What do you mean, an aunt and an uncle that was visiting for the weekend?
I don't know. I'm saying it's unusual in pre-Christian culture, especially in Britannia and in the Picton Scott countries, to have 4 adults and 2 children, unless like an aunt and uncle checking in.
And they got caught up in the sacrifice.
Right. Now, here's the thing that I wanted to mention to you.
Well, let me ask some before you say that. What are they getting sacrificed to?
Well, that's interesting, Phil. The sacrifices were to the sacrifices. Hold on for a minute. The sacrifices were to a god or goddess that would make stuff grow for the fertility of the land. For instance, in England at that time, they were very much devotees of the corn god. And it's no doubt that these 4 adults and the 2 children were sacrificed to please or you know, not to piss off. The corn god might have been pissed off. I don't know, just to chill him out. And by the way, I wanted to...
The corn god, huh?
Well, yes, sir. By the way, where do they bury the corn god when he dies? It's just a joke.
I don't know where.
In a cornhole. Now...
Jesus.
Now, the thing that I want...
What is the point of the call, sir?
No. The point of the call is this. I think this once again proves that Western religion, as it exists today, is far superior to primitive, animist religions. And the reason why I say that is, I mean, it's better. I mean...
Well, why is it better? Why is it...
Well, I can go to church, and no one's going to, you know, want to put me... In a grave for the radish god or something like that. See what I'm saying?
There's no human sacrifice today, right?
That's right. That's what I'm trying to see.
Would you stop with the bong, man? I can hear it over the air, okay? It just sounds like you don't know what it is you're trying to say.
No, I do. I'm just saying that
what do you mean the radish god and the corn god? They had primitive religions, you're right, and they sacrificed people, you're right. And you're right as well to know that we can have a religious celebration in this country, and we don't...
I'm sorry.
And we don't have to sacrifice people. You're right. There is another way, probably, of, if you believe in God, of making God happy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And while I don't agree with the current marijuana legislation as it's currently written in Congress, I would say that we still live in a superior country because of that. Because you're not sacrificing like a wheat god or something. That'd be a drag. You know, because half the time you don't know they're talking about, hey, yeah, hi, how are you? I'm fine. We have to sacrifice you to the wheat god. I don't even believe in the wheat god, man. Well, that's another reason why we have to kill you. Let's kill you twice. You don't believe in the wheat god, which makes you an atheist, and also we need to sacrifice you. So that is
bad.
Bad, yeah. Also, the broccoli god...
Okay, man, that's fine.
Sorry, I must have the munchies or something.
the broccoli god, the corn god, the radish god. You got the munchies for vegetables.
Yeah, usually it's like the wheat thin god. I don't know what...
Oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, where'd they bury the green pea god?
Where?
In a pea hole.
I don't get it.
You don't get it. You got the cornhole thing, but you don't get the pee hole thing.
No, I don't. I got another one for you.
Get out of here. Where do they bury the corn god? In a cornhole. You know, Chris, just a little extra screening on these calls. It would be so helpful. Hey, man. Yeah? They found four adults and two kids. Really? Sacrifice victims. Maybe the aunt and uncle were visiting for the weekend. Where is Stonehenge? Is that the south of England? That's spooky. Whatever that is. They always try to make a druid thing out of that, right? They always try to make some witchcraft thing out of it. How about if it was just... What if it was a department store? Can't it be anything normal? Why has everything got to be have to have some cult thing to it? Maybe it was a pre-Christian... antediluvian, well, some kind of, you know, a hardware store. It might have been a parking lot. I don't care. Maybe it was a shelter for a homeless shelter. Could have been a church of some kind, not some weird, freaky church, but a place where you, you know, went and just prayed, meditated. Could have been a place where you bought gardening supplies. It could have been a place, it could have been a ballpark. I bet you it was an early hockey arena or something. No, it's got to be some freaky religious thing. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You're going to love this. I got some, just a little brief description of Stonehenge. Now, I know you've heard about it, but they just found some archaeologically significant relics there, if you will, some antiquities, some bodies. They found the skeletons there. So it was in the news. It's not really an earth-shaking discovery. It's the kind of stuff that interests me. But you gotta hear this. You're gonna love this. There's an American filmmaker named Vincent Gallo. He's a director. Now, right now, they're having in France a thing called the Cannes Film Festival. You ever heard of this? They all go over there and they screen movies. Now, you probably ask, and I used to think it was just a reason for movie stars to go over and get hammered and, you know, walk around in France, and that's part of the reason. But the bigger reason is they can show their movies and hope that a distributor will pick it up and thus screen it in the United States or in Europe or wherever. So filmmakers take their films there, screen them, and hope they get picked up. Now, this guy, Vincent Gallo, is an American who brought a movie there called The Brown Bunny. It was an utter disaster. It was booed. It was made fun of. The director himself said it wasn't fun hearing myself booed. If my film is not comprehensible to people, I failed. I'm disappointed that once again what I like is unpopular. I apologize. I mean, this guy, he said it's been a disastrous week. And then guess what he said was the ultimate insult. He said it was like pouring salt into the wound. He said it was well received by French critics. The writer says, a few French critics, always more receptive to intellectual navel gazers, gave Gallo's film the thumbs up. A dispirited Gallo said that was almost like salt in the wound. I like this guy. By the way, he did a movie called Buffalo 66, and it great film. So he makes good stuff. Don't worry about it, Vincent. If you can hear me, if you can hear the sound of my voice, we're going for help. Don't worry. We'll send pot in the meantime. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, getting back to Stonehenge, here's what I wanted to say. Do you realize, do you understand how lucky we are? Do you know what it was like to live at a time of Stonehenge? First of all, my good friend here, Mark, he's been there. Those rocks are three stories high. Three stories high. Those are, it's a circle of three-story high rocks that they say is, how old is this thing, man? 3,000 years old or something? It's really old. They say these rocks come from a way other part of England, 300 miles away. All right. So 3,000 years ago, they got about 200 slaves. And who were the slaves? Probably some Scottish or Pict tribesmen, some Irish tribesmen, some, you know, weird northern tribesmen that they were able to enslave. Some wacky Scottish, really crazy, bearded, hairy, frightening-looking northern British types. It was built around 2800 to 1800 B.C. They got some loincloth-wearing guys, and they went up to this part of England, and they got these rocks, and they slowly but surely laid them down on logs, and then they rolled them all the way down to southern England on these logs 300 miles away. And it would take years. It took years. So in other words, you're walking down a road, and you're picking, what, wild berries, and you're trying to spear a jackrabbit, and there they are, they're rolling that big thing. I heard about that, yeah. What are they doing? Well, they're rolling a rock down there, and then they're going to put it up. What are they doing? I don't know. It's some kind of a sundial deal. They started like 3 years ago, and they ought to be getting down around your house next year. All right. Then they'll put it up, and then it's going to be pretty good, because then we'll know what time it is. Right now, I have no idea what time it is.
So it's a sundial thing.
Yeah. That tells us what time it is. I've been around, you know, nobody knows what, but when they do, then we'll have a clock, we'll know what the hell time, and I'll be able to get out of bed on time for work for a change, instead of sitting around waiting, well, I don't know when the damn crow is going to start, you know, the cock starts crowing, I don't know what the hell's going on. I got to wait for a bird to wake me up. How about a little alarm clock? How about a clock?
All right, that's pretty heavy.
You bet it's heavy. And way down the road there, another 30 miles, there's another log coming down. They got another rock on a bunch of logs. They say there's about 50,000 slaves, them hairy Scottish guys.
How long do you think it's going to take to build?
500 years.
Well, you're going to be dead by then, so what difference does it make?
I don't care. Just seeing them build it gives me hope for the future. If I can't wake up on time, maybe future generations can. Good point. Jesus, right now I got no clock. I wait for a bell-ringing leper to know it's lunchtime. What kind of a life is that? I got to have a clock. They build that, we got a clock.
Well, I think it'll be cool. They're rolling this big stone 300 miles. It took 500 years to build the thing. 500 years. Do you know the attention span of the modern American? What is it, like a half hour? 500 years. But I will say this. I bet you that was the equivalent of, like, flying to the moon or building a space station. I mean, for them, it was a monumental undertaking. It probably made all the newspapers. It probably, seriously, was on all the cable stations. Stonehenge about to be built. And we've got a reporter right now, Becky John.
John, I'm standing in front of Stonehenge, one of the most amazing constructions in the world.
Three Arab terrorists flew a plane into Stonehenge the other day. Now we got to rebuild the thing.
To them, it was their World Trade Center. It was their space station. It was everything. Everything. And then along comes my engineer, Mark, and takes a leak on one of the rocks when he was in England 2 years ago. Nice going, pal. But that's the lift, that's the, see, that's the deal, you know, and that's history. That's why I think it's amazing. Can you imagine walking down a road? Now, dig this, just listen to me. Walking down a road, and every now and again, you're passing huge columns, just single columns, and sitting on top of it are men. And they're sitting on top of these columns because they believe it brings them closer to God. And they're up there meditating and praying for years. Years. And people will come with baskets of food and hoist it up to them. And you're walking, you live in a world like this, where you're seeing guys sitting on top of columns, cats pulling things down the road, you know, 50, 25, 50 tons each, these rocks weighed. And then when you see a little, like, for instance, you see a little bit of swamp gas, and someone thinks it's an elf, and they go running away, and you don't know what the hell to do. And you go, well, it's a full moon out tonight. I think I'll go out and take a walk. They go, no, you can't do that because the, you know, the witches are out. It's nuts. Forget it. I'd rather be, I ain't no Wiccan. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com, Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, our black and white latte mug, the spa robes from the Western Estates Homeowners Association is designed by Bobby Dooley and the gang, and of course, let's not forget the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You go to a website, www.lochness.co.uk/livecam/. They got a live cam on the Loch Ness. That is the Lake Ness or Ness Lake. And you can look at this thing and stare at it till both eyes turn into one eye, waiting for the Loch Ness monster to come up and go, hi, and then go back down. That little town there, Loch Ness, man, if they didn't have that Loch Ness monster, they would be dead. It would be a ghost town. There'd be tumbleweed flying through the street, and one little guy sitting there with a beret going, there used to be time lots of people come through here. Not anymore. Always remember to roll your R's. Yes, sir, thank you. And now they have a thriving tourist community of all these dumbass Americans. I mean, all of these wonderful Americans that go in there and they want to wait and see if there's some big-necked freak coming out of that lake, some kind of a freak serpent, some sea monster they think is going to come out of there. Well, let me tell you something. I was in London in the late 1980s when the British government decided to commission a search of Loch Ness. Didn't you know about this, Chris? You know about this? They did. The British government lined up, seriously, lined up individual craft abreast of each other all the way across the lock with sonar, radar, gaydar, anything that, just in case it was gay, anything that would, that literally could track any movement on the floor of the lock or anywhere around it. Now, there's a betting parlor in London called, who the hell knows, who cares? Ladbroke or some bullcrap like that. I go in there and they're taking bets. They're taking odds. They got a 300-to-1 shot that they'll find the Loch Ness Monster. You know, just like over here, like in Vegas. Like they were, like it's the Annika Sorenstam story of Britain. So I laid down £5 or some bullcrap that they'd find it, like a dumbass. In any event, so what does that mean I'm going to get? I'm going to get £1,500? I had to get a hell of a lot more if they find a freaking sea monster, don't you think? What do you got? $4? Well, no, £1,500, I don't know how much it is. But in any event, if they found the Loch Ness Monster, they find something that, you know, the thing from the lagoon, and I'm only getting 1,500 fish? What a jip! 300-to-1. You gotta jack it a little bit. You see what that means? It means the line setters, the bookies, were actually afraid they'd find some creature down there. So they lay it, you know, 300-to-1, because you never know. We may be having to pay out a whole lot of money. Yeah, sure. What are you guys are really, boy, are you getting soft. Too many of those pub eggs. Oh, man. 300-to-1. Anyway, they never found a Loch Ness Monster. They went across the lake. They detected no movement, no nothing, boom, 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 nothing, baby, nothing, right? So what's the next thing? Well, you know, there may be a secret hole that it goes in and hides from them. Oh, okay, well, yeah. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go over there. You know, they got that live cam. I'm going to rent a boat. I'm going to just go cruising across. I'm going to have a really long, long rope on the end of the boat, right? And it'll be underwater so no one will see it. And I'll just drive my boat along past the cam. Then about, say, maybe 5 minutes later, I'll have a puppet. Monster that'll just look like a Beanie and Cecil puppet, and it'll just go, a Bob Clam pet cartoon, you know, just go by, and some guy will be sitting in Hong Kong going, holy Jesus, a Loch Ness Monster, man! I think you've got the SARS. Get out of here, I ain't got no SARS! Look at my, I just broke my chair. I broke my chair! I broke the freaking chair. Can we get some chairs or can I get a milking stool? Anything to sit on in here, man. God. I reared back to emphasize the point.
Want mine?
Yeah. What do you want, pal?
You know where they hide the Loch Ness Monster?
If this is a joke.
In a cornhole.
All right, so I dragged that thing along until you had that Beanie and Cecil puppet going, and you would have some cat in Hong Kong, feverish from the SARS, going, wow! Some dude looking at his Loch Ness cam. There's a guy somewhere in the world who's just staring at that thing. He's probably stone blind by now, and he don't know it. Oh, please, 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 let me see it, 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 please. I know it's there, I know it's there, I know it's there. So I'm just going to cruise along, just... it's just a boat, Eddie, yeah. Hey, look at that! And it'll just be, you know, you can get one of them blow-up toys. What, is he going to know the difference? Some guy in Moscow going, Yuri, look! It's Loch Ness Monster! Will you go and get the good vodka this time? Because I think you're going insane on that bathtub crap. No, it's Loch Ness! And some genius is charging $2.99 a minute to watch this thing. $2.99 a minute to watch the Loch Ness cam. If I see Loch Ness Monster, I'd be all right, you know? Because why? I write a book. The Loch Ness Monster. Anyway, they make a lot of bread. And everywhere you go, you're going to find these tourist shops. You're going to go, you find the tourist shops in Loch Ness. You find the tourist shops there at Stonehenge. And if you've ever been to the Great Wall of China, which I have, I actually rode my bicycle to the Great Wall of China. Man, they got the tourist shops up there. And I'm going to tell you what, the stuff that they've got is the cheapest crap in the world. I bought myself a baseball cap at the Great Wall of China, and I found it the other day. You know, it's just the cheesiest thing. It's dopey. I can't even describe it. It's got the elastic doesn't work anymore, and, you know, the embroidery is coming out of it, and I don't know what I spent for it, but like anything is better here in the States. You know what I'm saying? I could go down there. You know, I'm walking around Battery Park in New York buying some dopey Yankee cap. The plastic's flying off of that, too. And guess what it says on the cap? I bought this thing at the Great Wall of China. Guess what it says? Made in San Francisco. My chair broke again. I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not making this up. I've had my chair collapse out from under me. I beg your indulgence, but as I sat here moving around in my chair, it collapsed yet again. Thanks, Chris is taking it out. Watch out the coffee. Watch the coffee, Chris. There you go. Look at that. The chair. What collapsed on this? Oh, look. Oh, my God. Look at that. The entire. I feel like it's Apollo 13, and I'm seeing the damage for the first time. Look at that. The entire lift unit, or whatever the hell you call it, is cracked. The ball bearings are shot. You see? Do I need a diet, or do I need a diet? I mean, is it finally getting through people's skulls? Let me move this for you, Janice. I have effectively destroyed, what do you figure, a $500 chair because I'm a fat ass. And it destroyed the ball bearings and the entire screw mechanism that lifts and lowers the chair. You know what we need to do is take a picture of that and put it on the website. And I guarantee Art Bell ain't got nothing that rivals it. On our website right now, an incredible picture of Phil Hendry's fat ass collapsing the chair. And you can see it right there, General Jameson, can't you?
Yes, Art, I can see it. It's, what a fat pig to be able to take a beautifully designed piece of machinery like that and turn it into trash. Just turn it into something for a waste paper basket.
I think it's fascinating. And we'll have it on the website later on. I'm Art Bell.
Dancing Queen. I don't know. What am I supposed to do?
All right. So, what do you want?
You want this screw back? I took it out of your chair.
What did you do?
I took the screw out of your chair. I thought you'd give me that.
I just collapsed on the thing.
Well, I didn't know.
What are you taking screws out of my chair for? Do you want the screw back?
I didn't know. I didn't know you needed it.
What are you doing taking screws out of the chair?
I needed it.
For what?
I had to fix Dr. Laura's chair.
Why?
Because it was missing a screw. You better talk. It's dead air.
Yeah, All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll take a picture of that. We'll get it on the website. Bud, take a picture of that. I want it on the website.
And I want it up by Memorial Day. Oh, whenever. I don't care. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 1-800-449-86... Yeah?
Where do you hide a chair screw?
In a cornhole.
Right.
We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.